today we are beginning a new sermon series. And that's always an exciting time to begin a new series. And this series is called Boundless, God's Relentless Love. And over these next 4 weeks, we're going to look through the book of Hosea, which is a small book in the Old Testament. He was a prophet, known as a minor prophet, just because it's one of the smaller books, smaller prophets, smaller books that we have of the prophets in the Old Testament, known as a minor prophet. And he writes to the Israelites. He was God's spokesperson for them. And Hosea, he wrote during around 750 B.C., and he was writing to the Israelites. At that time, that God's people, they had two separate kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And he was writing to the northern kingdom, the Israelites. And it's an interesting story. Matter of fact, if you know this story, the first time you probably read it, you thought, is this really in the Bible? It's one of those stories. If you read the Old Testament, there are stories, there's things that happen in the Old Testament. You think, is this really in the Bible? And it is. This is a story about a prophet who God instructs to marry a prostitute. God instructs Hosea to marry this unfaithful woman to illustrate that his love, just as Israelite was unfaithful to God, just like Israelite had swayed away from God's will, that Hosea says, I want you. And he picks, God gives him this lady to marry. And that's what the story of Hosea is about. And if you've not read, I want to encourage you to take time this week to read. It won't take you long to read this book. But over these next 4 weeks, we're going to look at this story because it illustrates God's love for His people and what He will do to reach His people, what He will do to go and to connect with those who've swayed away, who've drifted away, who are no longer in alignment with God. Now, to give you some context of what was going on in Israel during this series, during this time of Hosea, Israel was a very prosperous country. There was no war. The economy was good. And so from the outside, everything looked really good, but spiritually, it had grown into moral decay. They've drifted away from God. And that is when God comes on the scene through Hosea to instruct His people. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to look just at a few verses this morning. We're going to talk about chapter 1, but just for our time of reading the Scripture, we're going to look at verses 2 and verses 3 in Hosea chapter 1. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a child. Friends, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever and ever. Let's pray. God, we ask now that in these next few minutes, that your Holy Spirit would indeed speak. We have come today expecting, O God, to hear from you. Give us ears to hear the message that we need to hear today. Lord, as I share, I pray that every word that flows would be from you and not me. Help me to hide, Lord, in the shadow of your cross. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About 11 weeks ago, Beth and I received a phone call that a dear friend of ours had been diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. And on Friday night, 2 days ago, we received a message from her husband that she had passed away. Fortunately for me, earlier that day on Friday, I had the opportunity to be with her and her husband and all of her family. They were all gathered there in that hospice room. And we sat and we prayed and we read scripture and we shared stories while holding her hand. And there was a moment of silence where we just sat there. And I was sitting on a chair, and to my left was her husband, and she was lying in the bed, and both of us were holding her hand and her arm. And he looked at me, her husband, and said this, "You know, we've been married a long time." And I said, "I know that, Wayne." He said this, "You know what, Jim? She never gave up on me. She never gave up on me." There is something special about a love that never gives up.
Amen.
There's something that's special knowing that there is a love so strong that no matter what we've done, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've experienced, there's a love that continues to pursue us. There's a love that says, "I want you." There's something special about that type of love. As followers of Jesus, we serve a God who loves us that way. We serve a God that no matter what we have done, no matter what has been done to us, no matter what we have experienced, no matter what sin we have committed, no matter what bad choice in life we have made, we have a God whose love is relentless. Who's relentless, who continues to pursue us, who continues to want a relationship with us. But the reality is, what many of us face is that we deal with individuals in life, humans, human beings, men and women, adults, many in the church, some outside the church, who treat us because of our pasts, because of our poor decisions, because of sin in our lives, because of what has happened in our yesterdays. We have individuals in our lives that treat us as damaged goods. We have individuals who treat us as, "Well, because you experienced this, because you did this, because you went through this, then that affects our relationship with you today." Each of us, right? I mean, you've got people in your life, right, that way. Now, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Don't you have people in your life that way? I mean, when they know you went through something, you've done something, something has happened in your life, it affects your relationship with them, right? Yes. I mean, it's the human nature. We live that way. But here's the danger. Here's the danger that each of us faces. We will translate how we're being treated by other humans, and we translate that believing that God believes that about us. And that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie that tells us, "Okay, because this happened to you, because you did this, God does not love you in the same way. God does not pursue you in the same way. God is not seeking you in the same way." That's the danger. And I know many people who believe because they have gone through something in their past, it affects God's desire, love, pursuit of them today. And that's wrong. That's not fact. I mean, we serve a God who has this relentless love for His people. Hey, I know in my own life, there have been times I've reflected on sin in my own life, bad decisions I've made in my own life, and I've thought, you know, I'm, quote, damaged goods. I'm not what I should have been, thus God's love has been affected. I've struggled through that. I've dealt with that in the past. Only to come to the point of knowing that, no, God has a relentless love for His children. Some of you today, you may be here today, and you're reflecting on your past. You're reflecting on your yesterdays. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, I know my past affects God's love for me today, and that's a lie. It doesn't. We serve a God who has a relentless love for us. Our text, these 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at this book of Hosea. And it's a story about a man who marries this promiscuous woman to symbolize that just as he married her, God still wants a relationship with his people, Israel. Just because Israel have swayed away, just because they've sinned, just because they have followed false idols, just because they have followed away from them, they still desire a relationship. God still desires a relationship with them. It's interesting, the story, if you read the whole chapter in chapter 1, God says, Hosea married Gomer. Gomer, we think of Gomer Pyle. Gomer's a woman, okay? Gomer is a woman here, a promiscuous woman. We later find out she's an adulteress. She actually was a prostitute. And so God says, marry this woman to symbolize my love for Israel and that I still want a relationship with them. And they have 3 children. It's interesting. If you read the text, 3 children, and God specifically tells Hosea, now you name these children. They had a boy, then a girl, then a boy. The boy's name, Jezreel, it means scattered. It means scattered, as in the people had scattered because they had swayed away. They were all scattered. The second child, its name means no mercy. And God says, hey, you know what? I'm not giving them any mercy. They have sinned. They've strayed away. And they named this child, and it means no mercy. The last child means not my people. Not my people. Now, if you read the whole book, and we'll get to how it ends in chapter 1. So there's hope down the road. But in this moment, when you read these verses, God is very clear that this people, these people, they've swayed away. But then he says, I want you to marry Gomer to symbolize my love for them and what they've done. What they've done. I can only imagine Gomer feeling unwanted. I can only imagine how she must have felt as someone who was despised, someone who was, quote, damaged goods because of her past, because of her yesterdays. But God says to Hosea, pick her. I want her to be your wife. The main idea that I want us to think about today as we kick off this sermon series and we talk about a God that has this relentless love for us is simply this. It's simply the main point is our yesterday does not hinder God's pursuit of us today. Our yesterday does not hinder God's pursuit of us today. And friends, that's good news because each of us has a yesterday, don't we? Each of us has a yesterday, but our yesterday does not hinder God reaching out, God seeking us today. He wants that relationship with us. Very briefly this morning, I want us to walk through in this chapter 1, and look at some of the, I believe, characteristics of God, things that remind us of what God is like. When we look at this story and how we read Hosea and his relationship with Gomer, and what we learn about a God who has a relentless love for us and our response to that relentless love in our lives. So the first thing I want to share from this text is that God's motive is to save that which is lost. God's motive is to save that which is lost. The name Hosea in the Hebrew is Hoshea. It's H-O-S-H-E-S. Hoshea. And it is the Hebrew root word for Joshua and Jesus. It's the Hebrew word for Jesus. And it means deliverer, one who saves, salvation. It's not a coincidence that this story, Hosea, the one who delivers, the one who saves, It's not a coincidence that this is the person who says, I want Gomer. I want the one who's been unfaithful, and I want to rescue her. I want to bring her back to me. I want to bring her into a relationship with me. Just as God is the God who rescues, as the God who pursues us to bring us back, to save us, to rescue us. There's a chapter that I love. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's called The Lost Chapter. And it's a story of three parables of things that were lost, but they were found. It was the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, the prodigal son. You may be familiar with that particular parable. This is what happens in each of those stories. Something is lost, then it's found, then there's a celebration. Something is lost, then it's found, and there's a celebration. God's heart is to seek that which was lost. God's heart is to pursue those who have walked misaligned with Him, who've walked away. The Israelites, at one time, they walked with God. They were walking with God, but they began little by little straying away from God. And God said, I want you, I want to bring you back to me. You may, in your journey today, when you look and examine and do self-reflection, you may see that yourself, you've strayed away. You've not been in alignment with God in a long time. And perhaps it started off with little steps, but sooner or later you wake up and you realize that your life is way out of alignment with the life that God desires for you, the life that God wants for you. If that's where you are today, we have a God who says, come back. I want to pursue you. I want to bring you back. I want to save which has fallen off the course. I want to bring back those who are lost. So the first idea that Hosea, this is a God who saves. His motive is to save that which is lost. The second thing in this text is that God is persistent with His love for us. I mean, the very fact that God tells Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman. I mean, that's far-fetched, right? I mean, that's pretty extreme. That is extreme, but it's an example of God's persistence. I mean, we serve a God who is persistently wanting us to come back to Him. When our boys were probably 4 and 7, there was a Saturday that we had some stuff at the house I needed to take to the dump and loaded up the truck, went to the dump, and you know dumps are nasty, right? I mean, I was at the dump here in Coweta County this week. It's a nasty, nasty place. And we were there, and Will and I, our older son, we were sweeping out the truck, throwing stuff off as quickly as we could, and we got ready to leave, and we couldn't find Ben. Bless his heart. He's our wanderer, and you were yelling, Ben, where are you? Hey, I'm up here, which is never a good thing to hear when you're at a dump. And we looked up, and there was this pile of trash, and at the top of the trash, and I'm not kidding, there was this nasty couch sitting in this pile of trash. And Ben was sitting on this couch. He had climbed up, and he was sitting there. He had his arm on the back, had his legs crossed. And I said, get off that nasty couch. He said, can we take it home? No, we can't take it home. And we had this conversation. He was bound and determined. He said, man, we could use it. I could use it outside. No, Ben, get off the nasty. I mean, it had stains, it had rips, but Ben was like, persist, I want to take this couch home. I want to take it home. You know, with all of our stains, with our rips, with our stench, man, we've got a God who says, I want to take you home. I want to bring you back. I want to rescue you. I want to get you back in alignment with me. I mean, that is God's very heart. That's what represents His relentless love that He has for us. And this last thing that I want to share in this text, I think we can't miss this point here, is that God's condemnation in this chapter is followed with hope. If you read verses 2 through 9, you will get depressed if you stop at verse 9. Let me just tell you, because it's all condemnation. It's calling out the Israelites for being disobedient. It's calling them out for what they've done, and the consequences are pretty dire. I mean, it's not good. Then you get to verse 10. And if you're someone who writes in your Bible or circles things, underline, this is a word that you need to underline or circle. Verse 10 begins with the word yet. Yet. The Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," they will be called children of the living God. Yet. Yet. In the midst of the condemnation, yet they will be called the children of God. If you have taken the time to review your spiritual journey, and the Lord has brought you out of a ditch, the Lord has brought you out of a situation you didn't want to be in, you have a yet in your story. You have a yet that although this was going this direction, there was a yet. Yet God delivered you. Each of us needs a yet. Each of us needs that moment where we realize that although we have placed ourselves in a ditch, we have a God whose relentless love says, "Come back to me. Come back and be in alignment with me. Come back to this life that I have in store for you." Yet God delivered them. Yet. At our shelter, there is a, we do something called the Rattle Coffee House. And the Rattle Coffee House is a, it's a time that we invite the ladies in the in the shelter to come, and they share. They may share a song, they may share poetry, they may share a spoken word. They may, some have done liturgical dance for us before, but it's a way for them to share their story. It's a way for them to give back to the community. Probably, it must have been 2 years ago, we were having a coffee house, and there was one of the ladies who was signed up to sing that night. Now, I knew her story. People in the room did not know her story. I knew it because of being one of the pastors there. But she had been rescued from sex trafficking. She had spent years in prostitution and had a pimp. And sex trafficking is very complicated, but there are those who they're kidnapped in a way. They're psychologically manipulated to believe they have to do this life, have to live this way. And she was one of those ladies, and she lived that way. And by the grace of God, she was rescued out of that. And now she was at the shelter, and she was receiving the treatment that she needed, and gaining strength emotionally and spiritually and physically. And she signed up this night to sing. And she got on stage that night, and I remember Beth and I were sitting together, and she began to share part of her story, not going in detail, but just talking about living, having a hard life, and making choices early on that she deeply regret. And she said she lived a large portion of her life believing that she was not worthy of God's love. That she had lived a long season of her life believing that she had made so many mistakes, that she has sinned in such a way that she was no longer worthy of God's love. And that God's love may be relentless, it was not relentless for her. And she was telling this story, and then she said, "I've got a song I want to sing." And she sang, "I Am Redeemed." I don't know if you know that song or not, but she began singing, "I Am Redeemed." And this is one of the verses. "All my life I've been called unworthy. named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear your whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll take off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. And she's singing this song. I'm boohooing like a baby because I'm just seeing God's love in a beautiful way of what God had done for her in her life. Yeah, I don't know where you are in your faith journey today, but we all need to be redeemed. We all need to be redeemed. We all have a yesterday in our lives. We all have a yesterday that we regret, that we wish had gone differently, that we wish we could take back. Each of us, no one is exempt of that. But we have a God whose love is relentless, who says, I want you back. I want to redeem your life for my glory so that we can each say, I am redeemed.